And I bring you greetings from the 17 churches, small and large, that he helps to lead under the name of Jesus in that small country. Got a couple questions, and I do give rewards for right answers. Easiest one first. What are the two countries that Mongolia is landlocked between?
China and Russia.
Boom. What does your stress ball say on it there?
Give access.
Give access. Okay, that was a former theme of ours. And our theme rolled out from the Colorado Springs National Office of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which not only leads 2,000 churches in the U.S. of A., but also helps lead 700 missionary families like ours. So you may not have thought you were in a worldwide family this morning when you walked into church, but you are. So I hope that's good news. The second question I have for you is, what's the population of Mongolia? Would you have a guess? You guys who have been to Mongolia should know this, but I'm not going to single you out. I'll give you a hint. From the video, you can do the math and figure this out. Mongolia is right now about 1% Christian. 2.5 million. Who said it? Yes, that's good. That's not going to hurt. We don't punish right answers. Yeah, it's about 3 million, actually, because this video is a little bit old, and so it's more like 30,000 believers out of about 3 million people. And why did I put on this really warm hat to represent Mongolia? Well, number one, it's a really Mongolian hat. It's a little similar to the Russian one, you may think, but this one has the tremendous ability to come down and be ear flaps. And there's a cold front that comes from Siberia that I affectionately like to refer to as the freeze your face off cold, okay? And you will see guys without a hat walking around Mongolia, and you'll see, you know, just constantly, it's like they're on the phone, but they're not, right? It's, what is it? They're still trying to save their hats and their real warm clothes for December and January when it's minus 40. I call my friend who's out in the mountains a little bit further. He says, it's minus 50, okay? So you'll see these guys in November walking around like this. What are they doing? They're trying to keep their ear from freezing off, right? So when the freeze your face off cold comes in early November, I usually do one thing. Stop shaving, okay? So there was a season, I forget, one year I'd shaved my beard off. We were out of the country or something, so I needed to get my beard off. I came back, and it was still in February or March or something. The freeze your face off cold came back, and I didn't have my beard to help me. And then that gave me great compassion for my wife, who is so cold all the time. She grew up in Ohio, and her mom used to make fun of her when she was 12 years old. She gave her life to the Lord in missions. Her mom used to say, "The Lord's going to send you to Siberia." And he only missed by about 100 kilometers. Our theme for the week is Awaken to Kingdom Reality, and it comes out of Matthew chapter 24, as it says there on the screen. You can turn there with me if you like. Similar color Bible to mine is on my table there, and it's all in Mongolian. If you want to look later at how Mongolian looks and to see God's Word written down in their language, a tremendous blessing in any country is to have the very words of God written down in our language. So, if you look at Matthew 24 with me, it begins with Jesus' disciples asking him when the end of the world is going to come, and when the kingdom is really going to come in power. And you'll see in the beginning, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these great buildings, do you? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Jesus' disciples, sort of like us, put a lot of their faith in their nation and in their country and in their religion. And Jesus is saying the end of all this is going to come. And if you fast forward with me up to verse 13, and a little bit before, at the very end, right before these things come, right before Jesus comes again to those who are waiting for him, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the next verse is a verse that basically started the whole Christian and Missionary Alliance. A Canadian pastor came to America right after the Civil War, and his name was A.B. Simpson. And the North, the people, like a church like this, half of them were Northerners and half of them were Southerners, straddling the Mason-Dixon line. And they couldn't decide, if we hire a Northern pastor, we'll have problems. If we hire a Southern pastor. So what'd they do? They called a Canadian. Okay? He was a Presbyterian, and he did a good job, got promoted, went to New York, and he was pastoring a mega church, 5,000 members, people's names on the front row. And it was kind of a hoity-toity good job, and he had an encounter with Jesus that led him to a lifelong pursuit of deeper life, getting to know Jesus deeper and missions, deeper life and missions. And so after he realized that the people he was sharing the gospel with, the immigrants and the people out on the docks in New York City, after they would get saved, he would invite them to his church, but they weren't welcome here at his church. He resigned and went out to live by faith. And what he started has mushroomed from 11 people who kneeled in prayer to God to say, what do we do, to 80 countries, 700 missionaries, and 2,000 churches in this country, and about 6 million believers around the world. So that's the Christian and Missionary Alliance that was born just by faith and by following this word, which said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This verse was so drilled into us at seminary up in New York that here we are, missionaries in Mongolia, and the kids, you'll see pictures later, the kids come to us and say, teach us English. The parents come to us and say, teach my kid English. We said, okay, we're going to teach you English, but we're going to use the words of the Bible to teach you English. So we taught them this verse and this gospel with these hand motions of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And we were drilling this into their heads, and we were at the same time, you know, taking a break from studies and doing sports. It was a sports English camp. And at one point, we were drilling it into their heads, and my older kids, girls, come to me and say, Dad, come here. I said, kids, I'm busy. You know, I'm a minister here. I'm a missionary here. I'm busy. That's what I'm born to do. I'll be dad later. Yeah, but Dad, come here. And I finally said, okay, and I came over here, and my little two-year-old had been around the corner, and they had kind of been watching her and kind of keeping her in the nursery and stuff while we were working. And they leaned down and said, say it, Claire. And my two-year-old daughter goes, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The other verse we were teaching them in that English camp in 2010 was John 3:16. How many of you could quote that if I was to ask you to in here? Okay, here's my story, part of my story. I'm about 15 in high school, watching football with some friends on TV. A field goal is kicked, and they hold up a sign, and what does it say? And I as an American, have been to church, go, what's that? Okay. And someone goes, it's a Bible verse. They didn't say what you just said that you could quote. Anybody want to stand up and quote John 3:16 for us so we're clear? I'm all out of right answer balls. I'm not going to force it. But my little boy, that was his first verse that he learned. And he was 5 when he learned it. And now, this year, just a couple months ago, when he was getting ready to go to Awana, he came home joyful the first night after Awana because that's what they do, is they teach you the Bible. And he came joyful and said, it was easy. I already knew John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. And it's not good news just for then when we learned it, or just for the people that were asking Jesus these questions, but it's good news for us. And that kingdom keeps on growing as long as we're here on earth and waiting for him to come for us. So the theme is awaken to kingdom reality and living in that, and always be ready for his return. If you look at the end of, or the middle of chapter 25, there's something called the final judgment, and it has to do with us being ready for the return of Christ. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So are you ready for the return of Christ? If you awaken to the kingdom reality like I awoke when I was 24 years old, when someone shared the gospel with me, then you're ready for the return of Christ. You know that you put your faith in him, you're on the team of Christ. And for those of us who have many years ago, like for me, put our faith in Christ, this passage of scripture serves to help us examine our hearts and see if we're not self-deceived, if we still are really living by his priorities and living his life, not our own life, and giving him only a portion of it. My story, how did I come to live with my family in Mongolia, you may be interested in. Some of my fellowship here with the folks has brought up a little yellow booklet called Have You Heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? And I'm going to share it with you here today. There may be people who came to church who aren't sure if they're really on Christ's team or not. Have you heard of the four spiritual laws, this little booklet said. And the first one was really good news out of John 3:16. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I don't know about you, but that sounded really good to me. I was 24 years old, didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I was teaching English in Seoul, South Korea. Does it sound good enough to you to want to hear number two? It's really bad news. Man is sinful and cannot know that love and cannot live that plan. I didn't like that very well. I'm sinful. I'm an all right guy. No, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I said, okay, what else you got? What's number three? Number three is God sent his son, perfect, lived a sinless life, to take our sin so that we could know that love and live that plan. And the fourth was that you don't get the benefit of that sinless sacrifice just by being an American or having been in church before or having a certain denomination or belonging to a certain religion. Each person is born into the world as a sinner and must receive the sacrifice of Christ for his sins. It's the only way out of this world, folks. And my friend who shared this with me from this booklet said, would you like to receive the gift of eternal life? And for me, the answer surprised me, but it jumped out of my mouth before I could even think about it. We don't do that. I was going to use the religion that couldn't keep mom and dad together, that couldn't keep me from living in a lot of wrong ways that I knew about. I was going to use that religion to keep me out of eternity, the eternal kingdom that Christ purchased for us. Fortunately, I took that booklet and I started to walk around this city of 20 million people, and all of a sudden I felt very alone and grieved almost, like I made a big mistake. I should have said yes. And so I took that booklet and sent it back to America here to someone I trusted and said, I feel like I missed the boat. And my brother wrote me back, and I had seen his life change before me from pursuing the wrong things and being ashamed of it to pursuing the right things and settling down and getting right. And he wrote me back and said, yeah, you missed the boat. And so 2 days before I got on the plane to come back to America, a Korean missionary hosted me into their little mission training center and said, Jeremy, I don't have much time, but would you like to sit down? You can have tea. And on the tea tray was a Bible with the date April 3rd, 1996 written on it. And she said, Jeremy, the tea is almost gone. Don't you want to receive Jesus Christ? And at that time, I had been looking for another chance, a second chance to get in on this worldwide family where people help each other and love each other. And it was the rope that she threw me that I grabbed onto. I said, yes. And that day, 20-odd years ago, I put my faith in Jesus Christ and agreed to serve him with my whole life. I could not have imagined that I would be back in Asia less than 10 years later, full-time, and spend, so far, 10 years living there. So that's some of my story. I can't remember if I told it here the first time I was here. I do see some familiar faces from about 16 months ago when I was here, but that's some of my story. And some of the ways that I've been able to invest in the least of these, I'm going to show you pictures of right now. So, and I think I've got the clicker for that. And I show you these ways that I've been able to invest, not because I'm so great, but because I belong to this family, and because you support missions around the world and the NRBA, we are able to be doing what we are doing. So we were running a outreach center with about 15 Mongolian employees, most of them Christian pastors, and we offered get out of debt training, which is basically Dave Ramsey training, Mongolized and tweaked to fit their context, and Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian 12-step, and we were running Bible-based family counseling, a lot of family problems in Mongolia too. So I'm running this outreach center, and one of my friends says, hey, here's Eric Irchenbayer. He wants to learn English. Could you teach him? I had a choice there, and I said, I met the guy and I kind of liked him. I said, okay, I'll teach you English. And he says he's a non-believer, so we'll see what happens. This is the 5 year later fairy tale ending of that decision, and the little part that I played by teaching him some English. And it started by David, my friend, asking me, will you teach him English in 2011. And David himself came to Christ through one of our Alliance churches, married the right gal, raising a Christian family in the right way, and teaching Bible-based family counseling. So let me back up. Back in 2001, when I first agreed to teach him English, I was busy starting a food for work program, which is basically employing the unemployed but not giving them money, which tends to go down toward the problem that got him homeless in the first place, which is drinking. Drinking is a big problem in Mongolia. So we would have them do work and then pay them with food. Okay, so this is one of our projects, rebuilding one of the local churches. We took a bombed out building that was basically full of squatters and that was dragging down the name of Jesus and rebuilt it with actual insulation in it and a little bit nicer and a little bit smaller so it was feasible to keep it warm. A building this large in Mongolia, it would cost you thousands, way more than they could ever afford to be able to heat it. So we had to build the church building really small. Irchenbayer was not there, but this man came and put his faith in Christ and got this new Bible. Later on, the next year, we were using the building in that location to teach the Dave Ramsey materials as helping people with their debt problem. And here's the graduation. But in the room right behind, you can see afterwards, we would go in the next room and do theological education by extension, which uses John 1:12. Whoever received Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. And that day, in this church, Irchenbayer became a child of God. And later on, very soon after he got saved and put his faith in Christ, his friend and my friend David started putting him in, giving him stuff to do. Here, you read the reading. Here, you play guitar. Here, if you don't give these guys some responsibility, they sort of just get bored and stop coming to church. So almost before we thought it was wise to do so, he was almost becoming a leader in the church. And here he is playing the guitar at his own baptism service. That's the town of Darhan behind there, and this is the Hara River that runs through. And you can see that though Mongolia is a very cold country, we do get a summer too. And this is the fairy tale meeting. The meeting happened at the Kama Services Outreach Center that we were running. Dahlgren was one of our employees, and we've seen a couple divine encounters happen at Kama, and they were married here by this great pastor who helped us research Christian ceremonies. In Mongolia, every time someone dies, they call the Buddhist monk, and he chants words from a book in Tibetan language that nobody understands, not himself and not the people he's chanting them to. And it's really sad for people who put their faith in Christ. They're going, don't we have a way to do a funeral in a Christian way? Don't we have a way to have a wedding without calling the Buddhist monk? And our brother here researched that and conducted this ceremony. After I came back, I got word that our brother had gotten cancer, and though the church gathered around him and prayed for him, he died. And so for him, his time on earth and his preparation for the coming kingdom is over, but ours goes on. So, but he makes a lasting impact in this couple's new life together. I got a little bit tired of constantly putting out fires. Debt, addiction, right? Family problems, divorce. I hate divorce, and good news, God hates it too. It hurt me a lot. But guess what? It's forgivable, and people have got to get healed and move on from it. I got tired of putting out these kind of problems and wanted to do something that was more preventative. Let's prevent debt. Let's prevent addiction. Let's prevent divorces and broken families by doing something healthy with the next generation. And so I saw that when I was in my house, apartment building, fourth floor, I could hear at 10 o'clock at night, bang, 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 out there on the playground. Snow this deep. Bang, 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 bang. Look out. Almost no light out there. They're shooting hoops. Shooting hoops. They love the NBA. Okay? I love basketball. Okay? This is an area where we can get together. And so in 2013 and again in 2017, I'll show you more pictures in a minute, we started teams by going into the local school and said, you didn't make the team, your local school's team, come to us and we'll train you. But it was back in 2014 when I was traveling around speaking in churches like I am here when I heard about a basketball academy connected to one of our Alliance churches in Raleigh, North Carolina. And at that time, I got the phone number of Coach Mark, and it was just like this faraway thing that maybe someday I would get to go there and see it and speak to that church. And here I am. Praise the Lord. This is the end of one of the slideshows. I'm going to show you one more right after this. But this is a way that you can keep in touch with missionaries. We have a blog that you can sign up for our newsletter that we send out quarterly. But these are some ways that you can be investing in the kingdom. Pray. If you don't pray for a missionary, I would be honored if you would want to start with us or any other of the 700 missionaries in the Alliance or any other missionary that's serving the Lord in hard places. We do get discouraged. It's hard to not have, you know, McDonald's on every corner. It's hard, hard to not have a Starbucks to go to. It's hard to be in that cold. So we do get discouraged, and I encourage you, if you're already praying for a missionary, hey, why don't you use this week or this month to write them and say, hey, just letting you know, we prayed for you. We prayed for you on Wednesday night. You know, we prayed for you with the kids the other night. That just means so much to your missionary, whoever they are. And then you can give. If you already give, thank you. If you want to join the worldwide team financially of the Alliance, that's the way to do it, cmalliance.org. There are ways you can earmark that for a particular ministry if you want, or a missionary. And then some of you, like the NRBA guys, how many of you have been on overseas mission trips? I know some of you have been overseas as well, longer than that. Our blog is also written on our prayer card, which is on our table, so you can sign up for our newsletter there. And we can continue to make disciples here through however you do that. This, let me give you some more pictures of how our particular time in Mongolia has looked, and then I'll tell one story and we'll be done. Just to review, there's Mongolia, and here is our 17 or 18 provinces. This is the capital here, Ulaanbaatar. And here we've got Darhan, and up there is Siberia, right there. And so when we showed up, we moved into one of these apartments here, and our kids were 2 and 3 and 2 months. And on September 15th, this was the view outside of our apartment. Notice the bars on the window, but mainly the snow. It seems to snow every year. So our job as Alliance missionaries was to study language for 2 whole years. And for a man who was kind of used to working for a living and stuff, it was hard to just report to a classroom and with the only other student in the class is your wife, right? So that has ramifications at home, right? Our teacher, and this written right here in cursive is Sahang Amraday, which means have a nice rest. And they say it all the time. And when I first heard that phrase, have a nice rest. So imagine me saying goodbye to you today at church, say, have a nice rest. Okay, it is a day of rest, but it's just not that manly, you know? It's like, but now, after 10 years of living it, I see why they say this to each other all the time, because it's exhausting to even be there. It's one of their favorite phrases. Not only were we in school, but our daughter went to the local preschool, and this is her on her first day of school, Maggie, getting ready to go. She's now 16, so she would be embarrassed if she was here. So after 2 years of being in a language school situation, I had a lot of cabin fever from just sitting there and learning these words and speaking. Like, Maggie would come home from her preschool after 2 or 3 months and speaking words. I'm going, Maggie, what does that mean? You want to talk a humbling situation, you know? So, but the cure for my cabin fever was by some miracle of God, I got permission from my mission to go out 200 miles out into the wilderness to a town of 10,000. We were at a town of 100,000, moved to a town of 10,000, and build ourselves a cabin to cure the cabin fever. So we started in July, and my wife was pregnant with our fourth. And you talk about pressure. We need to get this done because I got a baby coming. We need somewhere to live. And so Renee's condition for moving out into the middle of nowhere with me was, I will do it, but I got to have my wash machine work. So in order to get the washing machine to work, we dug a well right under the house so that it wouldn't freeze. And we were able to get running water going in there, and here we are at our table with our new baby right there. Country living was pretty fun. I think this is another first day of school. And we made friends with some nomads, and we're helping them set up their house here. And I got to help him move his I got to help them move not only their house, but their animals as well. So that was like a 15-mile, trail ride. Cattle drive, that's it, yeah. That was fun. And then in 2009, we were getting ready to come back to the States for a little bit, and here we are on the new year. And this is the same folks. They've now moved from their fall camp up into their winter camp, and they're getting ready to sell their cash crop. Can anybody guess what this is right here, what he's doing? It's from the goats.
Fuel.
Fuel is a guess. He's got a little bag of this right here he's gonna sell, and he's in where the sheep live.
Manure.
It's not manure, no. There is value to manure, but not that much value. This would be about $40 right there, about the price of a goat.
Cashmere
is right. Yeah, it's their fur, but they comb it out. I learned that in Mongolia. They will answer the phone and say, hello, oh, not much, I'm just out and about here. So then the pastor just stops and listens to their call. So anyway, that's a cash crop, but it has disastrous effects on their pasture, because the goats are kind of invasive and they will eat the roots of the grass and stuff. So it causes all around the towns to really have no grass to hold the dirt down, which then causes terrible dust storms all spring long. So it's one of those tough economic realities. Okay, so I told you I'd show you pictures of the guys doing Matthew 24:14. Here's all our English sports campers reciting Matthew 24:14 with the hand motions of the gospel. And there it was. This is the team that helped us with that from Bellevue, Ohio. And this was taken in late November or early December, and it was you can't see it here, but it's a thermometer, and it's reading minus 40. And this is our yard with our planet. This is that Food for Work project this is how the church building looked, with broken out windows, broken down walls. That was their idea of insulation, just mud in the walls. I mean, it was colder inside than it was outside. That's how cold it was. And so when they let squatters, homeless people live in there, they started burning up the furniture, the pews, the floors. And so we ended up getting a Food for Work team together and demolishing it and rebuilding it. And this is the grand opening here. In 2012, our son was born. And that's Tim Crouch was in Mongolia and did the dedication for us. We tried to model coming to church. We try to model big families and reproduction. So we try to model, hey, come to church with your family. And so here, this is a good example of it. Hard Rock is his name, was coming with his with his wife and his son there in the middle. And then we did some beauty kind of like makeovers to get the people to come in and see the new church that was finished. And Renee was a part of the beauty and the makeover team there. And so that was a way to get people to come into church who may not come to hear about a God they've never known, but they might come for some new nails or some new hair. 2013 was the year I got a chance. I got about 3 months at the end of my term to start with some basketball stuff. And this is the one where 109 kids showed up, the ones that didn't make the team. They just showed up. I realized real quick, I need support. This is hard, because if you try to train everybody in basketball and you're sitting them down in the middle of practice and trying to explain to them that the God who made their country and them and loves their country and them more than even their mom does, it's exhausting. And I had some local pastoral support, but I knew hey, it's not just 2,000 churches that we have in this and a bunch of money to work with. We have actual human resources. So I'm so thankful for my partnership with the coaches from NRBA here, right in your backyard, to have found them. And they came in 2016, but first we had to get back to Mongolia, and it's a tough trip. We were exhausted, and here, you may wonder what this is about. There are no benches in this part of the Beijing airport. I advise you to skip that airport if you can. But it was so great once to getting through all this goodbyes and the packing to get back to green, beautiful Mongolia was awesome. And I spent that third term working almost explicitly with Celebrate Recovery and reaching out to the least of those. And even guys like him, like this brother here, we invited him into our center once a week for a meal, and you can come to the Celebrate Recovery. But sometimes by then their mind is almost so gone that they can only take one step at a time, and they can't. But and even if he never gets saved or never gets sober, God is still glorified by our efforts to show him compassion. Amen. And you're part of that. You help write these stories if you're a part of the team. So thank you. This is just some more pictures of our life in 2005. I put this picture in here of my second daughter, Lydia, playing the horsehead fiddle because we found a music teacher for all of our kids, and Mongolians will do the same thing too. They'll pay money for their kids to learn music. Why won't the same thing work for sports lessons? Okay? That's what the concept of your own NRBA is, and that's what we want to see so that in Mongolia, so that the parents are paying a wage to their coach who also happens to be a pastor, okay? So that these pastors are not dependent on American giving for their livelihood. They start to do discipleship, and we want to see an academy like yours born that produces disciples like yours, and also produces income, so it's sustainable. So that when one of these kids understands that the love of God, it's obvious where he's going to go to church. I'm going to go to Coach's church, right? I trust Coach. I know Coach. I've been to his church. Now that I know Jesus, it's obvious where I'm going to go to church, and he'll grow and become a man who leads his family, maybe even a church, and helps lead his country in the right direction. Girls, too. We do it for girls as well. So in 2016, number one, the NRBA guys came. So grateful that they came for the first time that year in November, 2 years ago, and helped us get gathered up for our little 2017 outreach. And also that year, this is Luke, the president of the Alliance, leading 17 churches. And he grew up raising, herding, not believers, but herding camels in the Gobi Desert. And so here we are getting on an airplane. It was his first time outside of Mongolia to go to Bangkok, where the Alliance World Fellowship, where about 50 other national presidents of churches, some of them like from Hong Kong, have like, I forget how many churches, millions of believers in their national church. Our national church has, you know, probably 200-300 people total, you know. But here they are welcoming in Luke and the Mongolian Alliance body of believers into this Alliance World Fellowship. And that was a big moment for him. And I acted as his translator since he knows no English. And our friend David helped with that too, since he does know quite a lot of English. My dream is to be able to bring some of these guys with me next time I come. So here's our 2017 outreach. My favorite part of all these pictures is not the verbal, it's right here. This is a local pastor explaining to these boys in their own language the love of God, which is even greater than the love of basketball. Amen? I mean, I love basketball, I love America, but I love Jesus more. Amen? And so the vision is to see a basketball academy like the NRBA. How many of you see the NRBA sign when you come into church? Yeah, you should be proud. I've been searching for a long time to find this, okay? So here right, it is, right in your backyard, and I want to see it reproduced in Mongolia. By the grace of God, it's already been reproduced in Indonesia, and that's going to be of a great big blessing to the Mongolians to see that, hey, this has already been done in Asia. Because a lot of things, oh, America, it's just too, you, it's so much money, so much development, it won't work here. But to be able to prove to them that this has already been reproduced in Asia. So to God be the glory. I just want to share with you the story of this brother right here, Munk Tubshin. He was at one time probably the best basketball player in Mongolia. And he's still pretty good. Some of the guys and us got to play with him. Tobo is his nickname. And I played a lot of basketball with him, and he was a pro. I played in their MBA, Mongolian Basketball Association. And he was most valuable player of their league. And one day, after gathering with the other missionaries in Mongolia and asking them, could you pray for Tobo? I've been reaching out to him. I love him. I want him to go to heaven too. Could you pray with me for him? I called him a couple days later and said, hey, what are you doing? Can you meet me in the park? Right outside the gym that he had played all this basketball and made all these points and enjoyed all this glory. They always give out gold medals. I asked him, Eternal Smooth, are you ever gonna get eternal life? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be afraid to die when I come to the end of my life, aren't I? He goes, how? I said, you can receive Christ right now. And that day in 2014, outside of the gym, Eternal Smooth took the first step to receive eternal life. And I don't say that because of Jeremy's Americanness or sparkling conversation or even my connection to the Alliance family. That only happens through the power of God. Now, can you pray for Tobo going forward that he might be able to play a role in our academy, but more than that, that he would walk with Jesus and realize and be ready for that kingdom reality that brought all of you here today? And there's one more thing that I would ask. Can you be open to not just giving your prayers and your dollars and cents to kingdom purposes? Would you be open to letting go of your sons and daughters for the kingdom too? It's not easy for parents, for grandparents, to have their loved ones in a faraway place where we may not enjoy the safety that you enjoy here in America to worship as you want. Would you be open this Missions Week and this November to supporting the decision of one of your children if they were to come forward in a service like this, like my wife did when she was age 12, in an Alliance church, came down, gave her heart to the Lord for service and missions, and there she is, still serving. It's a joy to be with you. I'm so glad that I've gotten the privilege to get to speak with you and to be here at the Academy for the week. So if you have questions, I'll be at my table in the back. And I wish you a nice rest. And all the best. And may God bless you with the kingdom reality that we've talked about here today.